So in the gospel today, Jesus announces his final journey to Jerusalem, saying, "Hey, I'm about to go and be tortured and killed. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem," he says, "and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. He must die and rise again. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem." This is what Lent's all about. We journey with Christ to Jerusalem to experience and share his passion, to be healed and transformed by that divine love that is Christ incarnate being sacrificed for us. You remember in the book of Numbers, the Lord commands Moses to make the big bronze serpent and put it on, raise it on a stake, and all who were bitten by the serpents could look upon it and live. It's Numbers 21. And according to St. John's Gospel, Jesus took that image for himself. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him might have eternal life. The Son of Man is to be lifted up on the cross, just as the serpent on the stick. We are to gaze upon his passion, and in that vision of sacrificial love, our wounded souls can find healing. We may live. And the disciples understood none of these things. That's awesome, isn't it? They, and also we ourselves perhaps, are a bit like the blind man on the road from Jericho. We sit by the wayside begging. We can't see what's going on, what it's all about. And when they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by, the reason of this journey, the meaning of Jesus and his sacrifice, it's not very clear to us. To journey with him is to journey in faith. "Lord, that I might receive my sight." The fathers teach that the apostles comprehended none of that because the passion had not been completed. So vision is the reward of faith. Understanding why we're walking with Jesus, to observe and participate in that passion during Holy Week, during Pascha. So our journey to Jerusalem, our Lent, is to be a journey into light, a journey into understanding the mystery of divine love embodied in the passion of Christ. Can the lessons and disciplines of Lent really do that for us? Sure. Seems a little far-fetched, but that's faith. I mean, not eating something, giving up something. How is that going to make me better? Of course, that sounds far-fetched to our society, but it's a faith issue. God gives much in return for little. He gives all in return for nothing. All in return for nothing, that is the divine charity, which St. Paul explains in today's epistle, is to be the very essence of our life as Christians. In older translations, faith, hope, and love, love is always translated charity. When you hear the Desert Fathers always talking about charity, being charitable with your neighbor, they're talking about loving one another. They're talking about loving each other and loving as Christ loved us. So being charitable and love in the life of the church are oftentimes synonymous. Charity is to be the very essence of our lives as Christians. Faith is an excellent thing, no doubt, and so is hope. But they're only the beginning. In heaven, there is no faith. In heaven, there is no hope because heaven is the knowledge and possession of that eternal good towards which faith and hope can only aim. In heaven, there is only charity. There's only love. The bond of love which unites lover and beloved. Without that love, all our powers are worthless, sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, as the epistle says, or noisy nonsense. With the best gift of charity, we have eternal life. For what can separate us from the love of Christ? We know in Romans, nothing. Therefore, our journey of Lent is not a journey of faith and hope, but a journey of love. A journey whereby we become more firm in the bond of love which unites us to God. It's a journey whereby we grow up in love. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, says St. Paul. We are like children who babble aimlessly. Lent is a time to grow up and put away those childish things. The disciplines of Lent are a serious matter, being fundamentally a matter of the nourishment of our childish souls. suppose that no age has ever been so diet conscious or aware of what we eat and how we eat as our own today. I mean, you can't see anybody without a blog post about something, an app to track something, or people looking at a label on something. But what thought do we take about our spiritual nurturement? Wouldn't it be a good idea to try to wean ourselves a little bit from poisonous sweets of self-indulgence and worldly preoccupation rather than just devotion to God? I'm sure my son would eat fruit snacks day and night if I let him. And I'm sure he'll continue to grow up for a while thinking that he would imagine the day that he can eat fruit snacks for the rest of his life and nothing more. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Wouldn't we be better off with a little more time for prayer and less time for empty chatter? A little more time for the Word of God and less for trivial words? Habits are formed by disciplines. And the habit of charity, the habit of heaven, is not formed by self-indulgence in the endless pursuit of this world. St. Matthew says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There is one pearl of great price, and like the merchant in the parable, we have to sell quite a lot to buy it. Jesus bids us to go up with him to Jerusalem and to find our treasure there. May he open our blind eyes and give us the grace to do just that during Lent. Bishop Ignatius Brakhmanov wrote in 1968, the perfection of love is contained in union with God. Improvement of love offers inexplicable spiritual consolation, enjoyment, and enlightenment. But at the beginning of the labor, the discipline of love must endure the brutal struggle of its own self. And with his own deeply damaged nature, evil, inborn to the nature by the fall into sin, became for it a law belligerent and rebelling against the law of God, against the law of holy love. When I read that, I was like, that's brutal. That's holy crap. That talk about knocking down, that to have that perfect union with God, to have that perfect love, we have to deal with ourselves, our fallen selves. And I'm not sure which desert father said it, but the story was told. An old man was asked, how can I find God? And he said, in fasting, in watching, in labors, in devotion, and above all, in discernment. I tell you, many have injured their bodies without discernment and have gone away from us having achieved nothing. Our mouths smell bad through fasting. We know the scriptures by heart. We recite all the Psalms of David, but we have not that which God seeks, charity and humility. So as Ash Wednesday comes, this coming Wednesday, may we position ourselves to journey towards the Passion, to go up towards Jerusalem with Christ. May we be charitable, loving to our neighbors and ourselves, and take time to perfect that love in the presence of God, being humble in spirit. Glory of God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.